We spend so much money trying desperately to get a column inch in the paper or trying desperately to get on radio when we think we want it. And what does that do? It's like getting out of a hospital bed to do a workout when you're already sick. Too difficult. And it is equally hard to wait, do nothing, have no relationship with the press or media whatsoever, wait for you to invent a new product, and then you get your PR people to do the impossible and somehow generate some interest. Who are you? We don't know. What kind of a talent are you? Well, we're not sure. So how are we going to put you on primetime television? The producers won't risk it. So what we need to do is to build your credibility like we build your brand over time. And I'm more interested in how you can develop relationships, how you can be such a pro that the producers know you're a pro. Now they think, gee, this guy knows what he's doing. There's your technical skill. Now add to that your ability to, on the spot, win the journalist's heart and mind, engage in a tone that is befitting the media outlet, and what do you have? You become a rare commodity that everyone wants. Now, does that mean you're going to be rushed off your feet? Well, you choose. You decide. In my business, in my industry, I need to be on air all the time, and I am. I had the head of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation call me to say that we want you on radio this morning because we just read about you in a Vietnamese newspaper and I'm in Sydney.
I assume you must always be prepared to deal with anything.
It is unbelievable how, to this day, no two interviews have been the same, even though the questions have been the same, and I always respond to them as if the question was asked of me for the very first time. And I'll come back to your question about being prepared, but interestingly, just recently, I did a 5-city tour. I had dozens and dozens of interviews, and near the end of the tour, I met a lady journalist from a major newspaper, and I didn't know what she was going to write. And then I read the press clipping, and it read, "I was probably the last journalist on Jonah's tour, and I was expecting him to be worn out. But funnily enough, I felt as if I was his most important interview, although I know that he's probably answered the same questions a million times over. The journalist was so touched by my ability to focus, to listen, to help her do a good job, that she actually wrote saying, it's as if he was talking to me as the very first interviewer, not the very last. Mind you, I have been asked the same questions that many times. It is unbelievable how unoriginal the questions can be. But equally, the other side of the coin, journalists too have heard the same rhetoric time and time again. How many times have journalists asked the CEO about what makes your company great and the nonsense that comes out about teamwork and about good people and about good products and all this thing about leadership and leaders? And yes, I'm not doubting that you mean it and I'm not doubting that it's true, but the journalist is switched off because they expect it. And if they expect it, it means it's preempted. And if it's preempted, it means it's no longer fascinating and exciting, and they're just thinking, how am I going to catch the bus back to the office to get this story out? Now, back to your question, being on guard, I'll give you an example of the absolute worst nightmare. Stepping out of the shower, happened to be in Auckland, I think, phone rings. Who has my phone number at the hotel? Very few people have. So it must have been housekeeping or someone from the office. So I always have a standard line. I always pick up the phone and I say, Jonah, good afternoon, or something like that. Very standard. And hey there, Jonah, how are you doing? Could be anybody. I said, hi. Now, I wanted to say, who are you? What do you want? What's your name? Have you got the right number? And he sounded like a radio announcer. I didn't know that he was. I didn't know if he was a researcher. I didn't know if he was the producer. I didn't know if he was the key anchor. I didn't know if we were live to air. I didn't know if this was off tape, on tape, nothing. So, in the absence of any of that, you assume the absolute worst case scenario, which is we are live to air somewhere around the world, and I'm treating this like this is very serious live. As it so happens, it was New York Morning Breakfast Radio. The goon picks up the phone because he was desperate to fill a spot. Somebody must have been bumped out or didn't arrive in traffic, and he thought, my goodness, I've got 2 minutes to fill. Who do I call? My mate Jonah is easy to catch. Somehow, in he gets me, and no one had time to warn me. And he got a perfect interview. Why? Because I was ready. You have to be ready like that with television. They'll say to you, come in at 7 o'clock, you're on air at 9 and you're exhausted, your makeup starts sagging and running. Or the converse can happen. They say, come in early and we'll put you on at 9. And then someone's bumped out, traffic, you're in, Johnny, you've got 2 minutes to be in, you haven't even breathed. I've had cases where I've run to the chair and I've had the producer going 5, 4, while the microphone's being clipped, 3, and I'm breathing, 2, and we're live. And like, you can't say anything about it. Do not burden the audience with your problems. And while the guy's speaking, I'm trying to breathe discreetly, going... So, media training is not about teaching you what to say. You know what to say. For heaven's sake, just say it. You need to be discreet when you need to be discreet. That's your business. I'm not saying go out there and spill the beans. If you get to a microphone, a camera, or a journalist, you had better tantalize, give, support, enthrall, and captivate. And if you can't do that because you do not understand their pressures, then you are but a burden to the journalists.